Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 321, Holy, Holy, Holy. The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion this morning, and a special welcome this morning to our preacher. We're delighted to welcome Reverend John White, and John is going to speak on behalf of the South America Missionary Society, SAMS, with whom we have a link here in the church. And John was away in Peru last summer, and he's going to share a little bit about that as part of what he shares with us this morning. So you're very welcome to St. Finian's, and thank you for coming. You'll have seen from the notices on the way in that some of our activities are not happening this week because it's half-term week, so there's no toddlers, there's no anchor boys, there's no BB this week, but there is our Wednesday morning service at 10:30. Friendship group are having a special lunch on Wednesday, and this Thursday there's no parish prayers over Zoom. There's a special coffee morning taking place on Saturday morning in support of Elijah Saunders. Elijah has been selected to represent Ireland in ice hockey, and he's travelling to Canada. And there is a special coffee morning on Saturday between 10 and 12. And there's going to be lots of good things on offer. We hope people will come along and offer lots of support to Elijah on this great achievement. Immediately after our service this morning, there's tea and coffee over in the hall. Everybody is very welcome. And also, if we could ask members of the Select Vestry to stay behind here in church for a short meeting. after our service this morning. This is the time of year when we annually renew the register of vestry persons. So if you're not registered in any other church and you'd like to register as a member here, do please speak with the church wardens. They have some forms. And if you'd like to be registered here, do please take that opportunity over the next couple of weeks before the register is renewed at the vestry meeting. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7. But our service today, the service of Holy Communion, begins on page 201 in the Book of Common Prayer, and you'll find all the responses on the screen. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's forgiveness, we share the Gloria together. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King,
Almighty God and Father,
we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And our special prayer for today, which is the fourth Sunday before Lent. O God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our epistle reading.
The New Testament reading is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you,
Lord Jesus.
One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
And we affirm our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children and young people will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together hymn 224, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Father, take my mouth and speak through it. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lives and make them something beautiful in your sight. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, first of all, can I thank the Reverend Jono for his warm welcome. And good to see him again after quite a number of years. St. Finian's is actually no strange place to me because I grew up just down the road in Orangefield Crescent. I was a member of the neighbouring parish of St. John's Orangefield. But I've also spoken here a number of times, mostly at healing services with the Reverend David Jardine. So I'm familiar with St. Finian's. But today I'm here on behalf of SAMS, the South American Missionary Society. And if you're not familiar with SAMS, SAMS is an Anglican mission agency working in conjunction with the churches in UK and Ireland, in Iberia, but primarily in South America. And the last two parishes in which I served, I'm now just retired. I know I'm too young looking to be retired, but the last two parishes in which I served, St. John's in Lurgan and Christ Church in Strabane, they have very strong links with SAMS. So it was a great pleasure that last year in June, I had the privilege of being part of a SAMS team that visited Peru at the invitation of Bishop Orgue, who is the Bishop of Peru. The team leader was the Reverend Stephen McElhenney, and as well as myself, the other team members were the Reverend Dorothy McVeigh and, or Dunwoody, I should call her, that's her married name, and the Reverend Rosie Diffin. And we were given the task of leading a series of seminars on leadership, first of all in Lima, the capital of Peru, and then in the southern city of Arequipa. The bishop has a vision for equipping his diocese to reach out and grow. And the equipping of his key leaders was integral to this vision. So SAMS was asked to help in this. But what a blessing it was for us as a team. Maybe we received more than we gave out. Because this was certainly my first visit to South America. And it certainly had an impact. We found the people to be wonderfully warm and welcoming, even though they have very, very little. And we saw a huge gap between the haves and the have-nots. Many of the clergy in Peru have full-time jobs. They support themselves in the ministry. And when they come home in the evening, they attend to their ministerial duties. In fact, in order to attend the conferences, they had to take time off work. And yet their hearts are so full of love for others and to see the gospel proclaimed. They are people who live with a deep-rooted faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But there are also people who have a great hope. And this is an issue that the Apostle Paul was addressing in his first letter to the church here in Corinth. The hope for those believers, as it is for us, is founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a fact that cannot be denied. Perhaps the most memorable and in many ways the most humbling experiences during our visit came right at the end of our conferences, when there was an opportunity for those attending to receive prayer ministry. And without exception, they all came forward to receive prayer. But perhaps nothing was more humbling than when Bishop Jorge came to Stephen and I for us to pray for him. A true man of God, with a heart for the people he served. A man who wanted an encounter with the risen Lord. And that's what Paul reminds us here in verse 5, of people who encountered the risen Lord. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. I wonder, have you ever felt a little shaky in your faith? Maybe when you're saying your prayers, you wonder, do they go any higher than the ceiling? That you're merely talking into thin air? Or perhaps you get an uncomfortable feeling in the pit of your stomach as you wonder whether the only reason you're professing faith in Christ is because you've just followed the crowd on a Sunday morning. Paul was writing to address these sorts of concerns and feelings. He refers us to the witnesses of Jesus' real physical appearances following his resurrection. To Cephas, whom we know as Peter, to James, Paul, the apostles, and 500 others. All of them saw the physical form of Jesus with their very own eyes. And Paul points us to these eyewitnesses to help us see that their faith and ours rests on facts. What facts? The fact of the empty tomb, for one. There has to be an explanation for it. You can visit the burial sites of Buddha's ashes, Muhammad's body, and Gandhi's urn. But the tomb of Jesus Christ is an empty one. I have seen it. There's nothing there. And there also has to be a reason why the disciples changed from hiding in a house in Jerusalem for fear of the Jews, as John tells us, to standing on the streets of the same city and boldly proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. And there also has to be something that accounts for the existence of the church. Scriptures are clear. The explanation is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, through history, attempts to explain these realities on any basis other than the fact of the resurrected Jesus, they've all fallen flat. The resurrection of the Son of God is a pivotal event of world history and the foundation stone of our faith. And Paul recognized that, and that belief is a reasonable one. He names eyewitnesses so that we can examine the record of Scripture, even 2,000 years removed from the events it describes. We find that it was not, as skeptics claim, faith that concocted evidence for the resurrection, but rather it's the evidence of the resurrection that created faith. So when you're feeling shaky in your faith, and you're feeling a little bit unsettled, remember, there is a reasonable historical basis to Christianity. God has poured out his Spirit and revealed his word for your assurance. So just pray that God will meet all your doubts with the gift of faith. And look to the resurrection, for there you will find your faith bolstered by the fact and your confidence founded on this reality. John Locke, the 18th century British philosopher, wrote of Christ's resurrection that it is truly of great importance in Christianity, so great that his being or not being the Messiah stands or falls with it. It's the resurrection that proves that Jesus is who Scripture claims he is. It's the resurrection that seals our salvation and the resurrection that transforms our lives. And it's this that gives us hope as we face the future. As we come maybe to the latter stages of our lives, as we wonder what happens next. And it's because we serve a risen Savior that the church throughout the world, here in Northern Ireland, overseas, in Peru, and other places in South America, we have that hope to hold on to as we face an uncertain future, as we face the challenges. Now, they're different here than they are in South America. Economically, we are so much better off than them. Poverty is a big issue. And what one of the lovely things we did was we visited a soup kitchen run by four little old ladies, knee-high to a grasshopper. And they did that 6 days a week, and they prepared meals for over 100 people, or over 100 families. But they have that hope in a resurrected Jesus that so inspires them, so motivates them to serve. May we too have that same hope, that same motivation as we seek to serve Jesus here in Craigie and throughout the rest of the world. The hope we have is not an historical illusion. It's a fact, and we can hold on to that even today as we sit here in 2025, and we know that our God is faithful and he will do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the eyewitness accounts of you and your resurrected body. Thank you that your death and resurrection unites believers from all backgrounds into one body in Christ, whether here in Northern Ireland or overseas in Peru. Thank you that in your grace you use the Apostle Peter to officially unlock the good news of the gospel to all people, tongues and nations. And you use Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles. Today, may we be ready and willing to share that same gospel message with whoever we come into contact with. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer for a few moments. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of all those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. Today, we pray for our link with the Diocese of Santiago in Chile, and we pray for Bishop Juan Esteban, who was recently consecrated as Bishop of Santiago. We pray for those links between the Church of Ireland and the Church in South America. And we pray for mutual learning and support as together we seek to build your kingdom here on earth. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations of the world. And as our focus today is on South America, we pray for one of the largest countries of the world, and we pray for the people of Brazil, where the contrast between wealth and poverty is visibly marked. We pray today against corruption and serious crime, and we pray for all those people who are most vulnerable living in the favelas and the shanty towns. We pray that they might know the hope of your resurrection, that they might experience new possibilities for economic prosperity. And we ask you to bless the church in that land as it ministers there. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray today for all who are battling depression and anxiety. And we pray for your support for families and those who seek to offer care and support to those who are struggling. Lord, we ask that you would lift the heavy clouds that often weigh people down, and that you'd bless the work of community psychiatric nurses and counselors and all who try to offer love and pastoral support in your name to those who are struggling. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And we join together to sing the hymn of our offering, hymn 585, Jesus Good Above All Other.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words."
Amen. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
God of tender care, in this Holy Communion we celebrate your love for us and for all people. May we show your love in our lives and know its fulfillment in your presence. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. So on behalf of all of us, just before we sing our closing hymn, our thanks to John for coming to share with us this morning. Please feel free to stay for tea and coffee. And can I remind members of the Select Vestry, if you just stay in the church after for a short meeting. We're going to join together to sing our closing hymn, hymn 522, In Christ There Is No East or West. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.